Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Manchester City 2, Paris Saint-Germain 0. We have our first finalist decided in this year's UEFA Champions League, and Pep Guardiola is back on the big stage for the first time in a decade. We will dissect that in detail in today's matchday edition of the Gegenpod and look ahead to Thursday morning when Chelsea take on Real Madrid in a delicately poised second semi-final. So much to discuss. Let's get straight into it. So Manchester City, they're through, they're into the final, their first European final of any sort in 51 years since the 1970 Cup Winners' Cup, and geez, they did it in some style and effort against Paris Saint-Germain this morning. David Winner with you once again, joined by John Aloisi, Michael Bridges, Thomas Sorensen. Manchester City through. Thomas, I'll go to you first because you've backed them all the way. What did you make of today's emphatic triumph?
I think over the two legs, you know, it was tighter than, you know, people make out. You know, you hear the commentator this morning saying they totally outclassed PSG. I think certain aspects they did, they were very efficient, you know, punishing small mistakes. You look at the goals, really counter-attacks today. Great first goal from, you know, through Edison's distribution. And then defensively, tactically, how they shot PSG down from really creating chances and create, you know, just, you know, Icardi, you know, no space, Neymar, no space, and blocks. And I think they had 15 blocks, so Diaz and Stones did a fantastic job. And I think it was just professional where PSG fell apart.
Yeah, I agree. I actually think that Man City really showed why they're so good. And that was because defensively they are awesome. You know, we all know about the players that they got going forward and how they play going forward and how they can score goals, create chances. But over these two ties, they kept Mbappe quiet in the first tie. And the second one, Icardi looked like he wasn't even out there. Neymar, and I have to give it to you, Bridgie, you called it last week. I was backing Neymar, but this morning he was disappointing. But give credit to Manchester City and Pep Guardiola because they closed the space. And whenever they did find that space or they got into the final third, their defensive efforts and their blocks were unbelievable.
Absolutely superb. Thomas nailed it. Professional. It was professional, disciplined, organised. And the moment that I loved in the whole game was the defensive of City. Walker was narrow alongside Stones and Diaz, as was Zinchenko. They very rarely did they go out wide to engage the wingers of PSG. Who was doing the work rate? It was Foden on the left side and it was Mahrez on the right side. And at one moment in the game, it looked like they had a back six. And I remember Mahrez playing for Leicester when they won the title. They had a very similar style under Ranieri and he worked his socks off. That was organised and disciplined. And then on the counter-attack and the transition, who was up there doing it? Foden and Mahrez. Absolutely superb. Loved it.
How about this playing against Paris Saint-Germain? 54 duels won by City, 22 tackles made, 8 blocks, 0 shots on target faced. Now, Pep talked before the game about his team would have to suffer. You know what? They suffered in control. That was just their sort of, I felt like today was that coming together of everything. That was them at the next level of this is Manchester City in control of everything they want to do in every facet.
And Pep's getting it right in his team selections. You know, we spoke about it before the game. Everyone was, well, not everyone, but were questioning a little bit why Fernandinho starting. Pep made a bit of a joke and saying, oh, because it's his birthday, I'm giving him a birthday present.
I don't know why I started him. I don't know. Yeah, you
he
did.
He knows exactly yeah. why he started
Look,
him.
I'll go as far as to say, and just knowing how these top managers, how they analyse and sometimes, you know, we talk about over-analysing. But I remember spending a week at Barcelona. Luis Enrique would get his analysts to write up a report about the weather, about the pitch conditions, about the travel, but also about the referees. Does a referee like play to go on? Is he quick to get out the yellow card? You know, what's he like as a referee? And there'll be a written report about it. I wouldn't put it past Guardiola having that idea about this referee, knowing Fernandinho was in there to break up a lot of play. Those niggly fouls, I think it was about 7 fouls this morning. Didn't get a yellow card, Bridgie.
Yeah, agree. Very clever player when he breaks down play. I don't know how he gets away with so many fouls and so many free kicks and doesn't get booked. And I think he's very clever at the way he can, the gamesmanship of winding other players up as well, because Verratti got frustrated with him and it was Di Maria that snapped on the sideline and kicked out at him. Fernandinho wins the day, and yet again we saw Paris Saint-Germain crumble, throw the toys out the pram in two games, by the way, and lost it around about the same time in the last game. And Pochettino has got to wipe that out, because that's not good enough. That is going to cost you as a coach all day long when you got players that are going to do that. It's not right.
So while you're mentioning that, let's go with that theme. And since we've come off the post-game show, we've seen the comments from Marco Verratti and Ander Herrera. Verratti, the referee told me, F you twice. If I do that, I get a 10-match ban. Herrera, the referee told Paredes to F off. It's incredible. Now, I mean, Thomas, whether or not that happened or not, the post-match histrionics, the carry-on on the field, it is an indictment on the temperament of these elite players, which in the end saw Di Maria, well, leave Manchester early once again. We've done that before, hasn't he?
Yeah, in my view, it's a little bit sore loser. Obviously, referees at times get caught up in the moment as well, and you know, probably say the wrong thing, but it all boils over to their frustration. You know, I think for two games they lost it, lost shape, lost you know, their composure, and you can just see there was a shot of Pochettino on the bench, and you can just, he was just, you know, head in his hands and just shaking his head. And you know, you can't have that happen at the biggest stage with players that are that experienced. Because, you know, they threw away maybe 40 minutes of a two-legged tie because they were playing with 10 men. You can't afford that against a team like Manchester City.
And it was almost like you've thrown in the white towel in boxing where it comes in. The opposition see them, get frustrated and angry, you're going, we've won this game. I look at the comeback at Liverpool against Barca. They never threw the towel in. I look at the comeback from Spurs against Ajax. They never threw the towel in. Thomas has nailed it there. This team threw the gauntlet in and threw the towel in for their fans, for their manager and everything. It was very, very disappointing to watch. And that is world-class players, by the way, we're talking about. And it wasn't an individual. It was a collective. They all lost their head, and it's a shambles.
I can understand them getting frustrated about the referee and in certain decisions if he did say those things to the players, but it's not the right time to bring it up. You know what? When you lose with some grace. And PSG haven't done that, and they haven't done that in the past as well. And so Pochettino's got a big job on his hands to actually, you know, make sure he gets the culture right there, because the culture is just as important. If you want to go all the way and you want to win the Champions League, you need to get that right. And you saw, and it wasn't just the red cards, it was some of the challenges, and Verratti lost his, he saw the red mist there for about 15 minutes, but Verratti was superb this morning. So, you know, it's a pity that was happening to all their players.
I'll tell you what, mind, if the players are right in what they have said, the referee has said to them, as a player, I think that is completely wrong, because if any of us three were playing the game and we told the referee to F off, we are red carded. So I don't see how it's...
Have you ever had that said to you, a referee say something to you, Bridgie?
Someone's fishing here.
I mean, I've got to go back.
Have
to
you got
it.
A story of that, Bridgie?
I've got a story, yeah. Jacob Burns was playing for Barnsley and I was playing for Sunderland in the latter stages of our career. And there was a guy refereeing called Mark Clattenburg. Now, Mark Clattenburg is from the north of the River Tyne, which is Newcastle. Newcastle fan, should never have been refereeing a Sunderland game. And me and Burnsy had a little bit of a scuffle and a fight in the middle of the field. Burnsy, as he does, you know what he's like. He's a pest to play against. He ripped my shirt. I turned to Mark Clattenburg and said, are you kidding? Are you not going to give me a yellow card or do something about this? And his words to me on the field were, you're getting nothing off me today, you effing Mackham, because I'm Newcastle and I'm giving you nothing. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, you can't say that to me. He said, I just did.
What does Mackham mean?
So Mackham is a derogatory term for a Sunderland fan or a Sunderland player. It's the Geordie and the Mackham. And I couldn't believe what he'd said in the middle of the field. And I'm thinking, this is so wrong. I was going to report him after the game. And the lad's like, you're going to get nowhere. There was nobody heard it. There was no referee. And I said, Burnsy heard it, but Burnsy laughed.
But that's the thing. You know you're not going to win that fight with the referee on the field.
No chance.
And that's what undermined Paris Saint-Germain today. Big players, it proves in the biggest moment, you can lose your mentality, and that costs them.
Yeah, and I think you look at those two teams, like you, Paris Saint-Germain looked like a team of prima donnas, you know, who were always used to getting their own way, and suddenly, you know, they meet a bit of resistance, and then, you know, they throw in the towel, like Bridgie said. And, you know, Manchester City just looked like professionals, like a team, you know, unfazed. Mm. And that was the difference.
We're going to go back a few minutes, John. You appreciated my Di Maria gag there. Got lost on everyone else.
No, but I did.
A bit of subtle nerdy humour.
He doesn't
there.
Like Manchester, does he?
Nah, left early for the second time in his career. So there you go. Boom, boom. Ooh. Not a good joke if you have to clarify it 5 minutes later, but there you go. I'll just make sure that I did do that.
Don't forget, we've been on air since 4:30. There's a few tired minds here.
Just rewind a little bit. Thomas Edison, that pass. So I, courtesy of Opta, the stats gurus, that wasn't an assist, but he actually has 3 direct assists for Manchester City since his move there in the Premier League and Champions League. Whilst today wasn't an assist, it was just a moment that summed up that no matter which way you come and box it, Manchester City, they've got another move, don't they?
Yeah, and it's not a coincidence. You know, he epitomizes the modern keeper. He's obviously a good goalkeeper, good technically. He's a match winner at times, how many saves he's made, but have the distribution as well. And honestly, I'm in awe. I know how difficult it is to strike a ball that far with that amount of power and precision. You know, one thing is to see it. You know, I've been in games when I've seen that many times, but I've just not been able to deliver that ball. And
in the snow too.
Yeah, and the small backlift he has. You know, I think Johnny touched on it on the show. You know, he could go short. You can't really see it. And I think that's what catches the defenders out. They're probably not used to seeing it in France. And you could see Zinchenko, he had his arm up. You know, he was ready. The run was timed perfectly, and it was delivered on a silver platter.
How dare you underdo yourself, Tommy? Can you remember 1998-99 season, Goodison Park?
Yes, I remember, but I'll tell you, there was one big difference. I just closed my eyes and booted it long.
I was just about to say, there was a big difference, right? Edison and Zinchenko were on the same wavelength. Zinchenko made the run, Edison played the ball. The difference when Tommy gave me an assist from one end of the field to the other, I saw Tommy close his eyes, put his head down and go to hoof it, and I read the situation and got in, and Tommy got me an assist. There you go.
That's the difference, Bridgie. You read the situation. Most defenders should read that situation, because like I was saying about Edison, it's different when you're winding up, like you might have been trying to.
Oh, he was, John.
I would have run back and taken full run up.
But with Edison, it's a small backlift. It's a, I wouldn't say he gives the eyes, but you don't know where he's going to play that ball, because he doesn't really, his shape isn't going, I'm going long or I'm going short. He's got that knack of being able to just clip a ball in, and it's so hard to read as a player out there. You try and anticipate when a player is going to pass a ball, how they're going to pass it. Are they going to pass it short? Can I get on my front foot? And the thing is, Florenzi was on this front foot trying to anticipate where he was going to play the ball, and the ball went over his head and game over.
Brilliant stuff. Brilliant stuff. That's one aspect of it. The other is the defensive. We've spoken about it in theory, but Ruben Diaz, Bridgie, as John alluded to on the show, is still recovering from Diaz walking off the field looking like a hard piece of marble. But I tell you what.
Like Adonis.
Adonis, but he is a beast. And he has transformed Manchester City and been a key part of taking them back to the very top. 27 clean sheets when he's been involved this season. Outrageous. Yeah. Outrageous contribution.
Absolutely magnificent. And I think that's been Pep's issue. He's never known who his best partnership was defensively. They've never really filled the void of Vincent Kompany, and I'll tell you what they have now. They've got a lot of leaders out there, but they've got players that are willing to put their bodies on the line. And the amount of blocks we were talking about with Diaz, Stones, and Zinchenko, there was one moment where the three of them cuddled each other inside the box. They Brilliant. Celebrated like they'd won the Champions League final, because they knew how much that meant to them as a team. And that, the confidence that spreads throughout a team when a manager and players see that, and a goalkeeper, you're just delighted.
Yeah, and how has it elevated the game of Stones? Because he, you know, he's been up and down under a lot of criticism, obviously injured for a fair bit of time as well. You know, he's taken that, and you know, that step to another level. And I think Diaz plays a big part. It's just that confidence and understanding. You could see them. They're on the same page, and that makes a massive difference.
And that's what they missed last season. You know, that's why they didn't get through against Lyon when they played him last season in the Champions League quarters. That's why they didn't really compete last season in the Premier League, because they missed someone like Vincent Kompany. Not only his defensive qualities, but his leadership out there, his coaching. And they did say that Diaz has got that ability to coach around him. And that's why Stones has actually come of age, because he's coaching him. He's telling him where he wants to be or where he needs to be. And he's leading by example with the way he defends.
Diaz has got Stones back into Gareth Southgate's Euro select.
You rather? Starting 11, I would say.
Yeah, all day long.
Would you rather?
Diaz or Van Dijk?
Oh, off of Van Dijk's knee reconstruction, I'd go with Diaz. But look, Van Dijk at his best, when he was at his best, you know, both of them are top quality. You can't choose between them, because they both bring a lot to their team. And I haven't been fortunate enough yet to watch Diaz live. I was with Van Dijk with Liverpool against Barcelona in both games, and his coaching ability was phenomenal. And he very rarely gets beaten 1v1.
I've got an answer for that, Dave. It's what the referee said to the boys of Paris Saint-Germain. Bleep off.
That was a very annoying hypothetical. I know. I just wanted to use the button.
I'll take either, mate. I don't care.
Very good.
I'll take Baresi. No one remembers Baresi here.
Maldini.
That's like...
Franco. That's your favourite player, isn't it?
Yeah, hardest defender ever played against. But
hang on. How old are you?
Yeah, well, I played against Baresi.
The national team?
No, not for the national team. When I was in Serie A with Cremonese, we played against AC Milan, and Baresi was playing at the back, and he was phenomenal. But
how do you keep your looks?
Why?
Well, if you must be 65.
Hey, it's not a beauty program, Bridgie.
Sorry, man.
I was about to say...
Beauty tips.
At the top of the show, you spoke about 1970 was the last time they were in a cup final. It was a cup winners' cup final, Manchester City. I think Swartzy was the only one that was alive back then watching that game. I think he was actually ball boy maybe at that game.
And it shows.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Very good. Now, you speak about 1970 and the time that it has taken. Pep Guardiola has finally, a decade later, he's finally back in the final. You know, you mentioned before about the improvement that Stones has made. Mahrez, the improvement. Walker, the improvement. Foden, the evolution. 14 goals, 10 assists this season. Unbelievable. With Pep Guardiola, the puppet master. I'd like to talk a little bit more about his involvement, what he's done this season. Not only getting them finally to that final, he's going to win the league after being eighth when this year started. I'd like to go around the room and just get your thoughts on what this moment in time means for Pep Guardiola personally and what he's bringing to his overall football legacy.
No, he's definitely up there with the absolute best, for sure.
Of all time?
Yeah, I think so. You know, what he's achieved at different clubs. And, you know, he's had his bad times at Man City as well. We shouldn't forget. Way early when they lost to Leicester 5-2 and went out the draw against West Brom. So there were times where he was questioned as well. But how he stuck to his guns and evolved as well, and how he's, you know, built the team. And you can just see today, I think that's the culmination of years of work, of structure, you know, discipline, you know, just the whole thing. I think that's what won them this tie, because it you know, PSG was not out of it. They played decent, but it was the margins were you know, I think you can credit him for that.
So he had someone like Johan Cruyff, obviously, that you know, he learnt a lot off of, and a lot of his coaching philosophy is about what Johan Cruyff was doing back in the day at Barcelona. But Guardiola already had thoughts about coaching towards the end of his career, because right at the end of his career, he went to Italy to play for Brescia. He didn't need to go to Italy. He could have gone anywhere, but he wanted to learn the defensive aspect of the game, because really with Cruyff, it was was all about attacking. It was about open football. It was about we'll score more goals than you. We don't care how many we concede, we'll score more goals. And then after that, he went to Mexico to play under Lillo, his assistant coach, because he heard so many good things about him as a manager and how he thinks outside the box. So this is years of work. We all question coaches because sometimes, you know, coaches will make mistakes and get it wrong. But he's won the title in Spain a number of times. He won the Champions League with Barcelona, goes to Germany and gets them performing at a higher level than they ever have, winning the title on a number of occasions. And now with City, he's going to win 3 Premier League titles out of 4 seasons, 4 Carabao Cups, now Champions League title. He has to go down in history as one of the best managers of all time. It's incredible what he's been able to do.
Concur. I was trying to think about some negatives to put on the spin. I think the only few I can think, he overthinks things on occasions. And the other one, he upsets
That's
somebody.
That's why he's so good as
he
well.
He upsets somebody at Bayern Munich and Muller Wolfhart, the doctor who had been there for years. They didn't get on. Soon as Pep went, he was back involved at Bayern Munich. Apart from that, honestly, Mandy, the knowledge that Johnny talks about there, the way he goes and educates himself to try and develop and evolve with the game, whereas others don't, Jose Mourinho. I think it's unbelievable. Big call. Got another job.
Roma's is Jose Mourinho.
The Roma.
Can you imagine Smalling sending a message around in the Roma WhatsApp saying, oh God, look what we've got coming. Anyway, moving on.
I've got something to get you excited, Bridgie.
Come on then.
Barcelona, when he was there, they won the Euro World Cup. Spain did. With some Barcelona players. He went to Bayern Munich, Germany ended up winning the World Cup. Can England win the Euro now that Guardiola's done it at City?
I love what you're saying, John. I said this during the World Cup as well. We, you know, it's coming home. It didn't. So I'm hoping this is the moment, but I've got my money on France. Okay. But I love what I do hear what you're saying.
It's a great theory, I'm just going to dismiss it.
He increases the level all round, and the good thing, he's got English players in Stone, Walker, Foden, playing magnificent. Have I missed anybody there?
Yes. Well, Sterling's in there.
Sterling as well.
Yeah. Maybe he's challenged him and it's gone the wrong way, but he's got an influence on this team.
Do you know the other thing that I've got to say about Manchester City? There's a lot of players that started the season, that match that you mentioned, Tommy, 5-2 defeat against Leicester. Ake and Garcia were the two centre-halves. Sterling was in, and he had a cracking start this season. A few of the players that have kind of levelled off, De Bruyne had obviously an injury. It's almost like the back end of the season, Foden has taken his chance. Mahrez has come of age, and the time and the shift in dynamics, the players have been absolutely marvellous. Fernandinho in for Rodri.
But brilliant. That's what happens when you've got such a deep squad.
That's what I mean.
And so much quality. And you still have to manage those egos as well. And he does that really well.
And do you not think Liverpool have struggled with that because they haven't had to be able to change as many players because of the lack of squad depth?
Yeah, 100%.
Everyone will say that, or cynics, and rightly so, will say they've obviously got the money. It's an important caveat to add. But Pep Guardiola has to manage that dressing room. And the fact is, I mentioned it on the couch, the elite players that he's actually improved. You can see he's teaching these elite players to go to another level. And there was a great column this week by Philip Lahm in one of the English papers. And he talked about how he's never worked for a manager with the energy who challenges his players day in, day out, makes them think almost like a chess coach. And some will rise. Maybe some like Sterling this year have suffered a little bit, but those who rise to the challenge go to another level. So we'll be having this discussion, will go to another level itself if they win in a couple of weeks' time and he claims the Champions League finally again after 10 years. But before we move on, Paris Saint-Germain, another one that got away from them. You can't say they bottled it, even though their temperament, because they were beaten by a better side on the day. But we do have to ask what happens next. Already the club's been asked about it straight away because this is a big off-season for them. Kylian Mbappe was missing today. That's a big deal to this occasion, but his future is going to be a big part of the summer transfer talk. There's no question about that, particularly if he has a hot Euros.
For sure. And there's a lot of teams around Europe, big teams that are looking for strikers. So some of them will be on the move. And I think it all boils down to what does he want to do? Same with Neymar. I think they're such big players. They can make a power move. They can get out of there if they want to. You know, it's going to be a power struggle. If he decides that the future is somewhere else, and PSG knows that, you know, potentially their sort of long-term future hinges on him staying because that's where the team will be built around. So it's going to be must-watch TV, I think, what happens in Paris.
Look, Bridgie, you got something to say?
I was going to throw a question. You're talking about Mbappe. Does Neymar stay and does Icardi stay? They could have a front three clean out.
Look, I still think they need another number nine. Yeah, and I know we were joking about it on air or off air about Pochettino just giving a tap on the shoulder to Aguero, wishing him luck when
wasn't
he went on.
Wasn't that interesting? Yeah. He got up off the bench to give him a...
See you next season.
Yeah. It makes sense. It makes sense, by the way.
I'm telling you. Yeah. Well, look, there's that Argentinian factor as well. I actually think that they... Mbappe, as good as he is... He's not an out-and-out number nine. He can play up there, of course, because he's got so much quality. I like him better on the left. I like Neymar better as that 10 that's floating around and finding space in between the lines. And I still think you need an out-and-out striker. Now, Icardi showed today he's not at that next level. He's a decent player in the French league, but I still think they need that world-class number nine. And Aguero, when fit, is one of the best.
That's an interesting shout. Interesting shout. So we will see Thursday morning, Australian time, who they're going to play in the final. Is it going to be Chelsea or is it going to be Real Madrid? This won't be a 3-0 barn burner, you wouldn't think, because we know Chelsea's record with the clean sheets under Thomas Tuchel. And Zidane's team, who haven't lost in 3 months, they don't concede more than one goal a game. They haven't conceded more than one goal a game in 3 months. So how do we split these two teams tomorrow?
It'd be interesting to see because Varane is out, Carvajal is out. Does Ramos come back in? You know, he's a talisman. How fit is he? Is he match fit for this sort of game at this level? And does it, the Werner missed chance, does that come back and rue, Chelsea that half an hour they had early in the game where they totally dominated? So I think there's some storylines there, but it's going to be a tight affair. Kante is going to shut everything down like he did. He's just going to, go on, that machine that he is. Benzema, can he make a difference? I think it's going to be down to, a couple of moments, who can step up at the right time.
It's also, will Real Madrid go back to a back four or will they play their back three? If they do, you'd think Ramos would then start because they've got Nacho and Militao who's been... He's been phenomenal, especially the last couple of months. He's really stepped up. Again, he scored on the weekend against Osasuna. So that's an interesting aspect of it. Tactically, how is he going to go? And then he needs Vinicius to fire. Benzema, you think they would lead the line well and still find his chances. But you're right, it's going to be so close. There's not going to be much in it. And really, Real Madrid just need to be solid defensively and just get that little break of theirs and get that goal and 1-0 will take them through.
I feel the upper hand is with the experience and knowledge of this competition under Zidane and under the players that have been there and won it before for Real Madrid. I think that's where they're going to get one over Tuchel and Chelsea. And sorry, Dave, I hope they do because I would like to see Real Madrid against Man City. I don't want to see another Premier League final in the Champions League. We see that in the Champions League. In the Premier League, we've seen it. And I want to see something different. I want to see two countries come up against each other in Real Madrid and
City.
The
only thing is there that Zidane still hasn't got one over Tuchel. 5 games, he hasn't beaten him once.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But he's never been knocked out in a semi-final. So the storylines are immense. The storylines are immense. And you know what? I get what you're saying, putting my neutral hat on Bridgie as well, because imagine the old power of Madrid in their 17th final against the big spending upstarts of Manchester City against them. It would be the perfect talking
point.
But
I don't want Real Madrid to win the final if they do get through because I don't want Perez to get any satisfaction because he has acted like an absolute clown through all of this and... What he's done to get everybody and galvanise them and start that Super League talk, and we've seen how much it's disrupted the English fans in the owners. Yeah, not a big fan of his at this moment.
No, I agree with that. But one other thing we didn't talk about, wouldn't it be funny if Marcelo gets called back to Madrid because he's got to be the polling station at the election?
They're saying that he's there and he'll arrive the day of the game. Yeah. So I don't think he'll start the game. I think they'll probably start with Mendy at left back. Marcelo will probably be out.
Sorry, is this politics in football or is this just genuine politics?
No, his actual, just like jury duty here in Australia, he has been called up to be an election station polling marshal.
Wow.
And on the day. But he's on standby. Yeah. He's on standby. Imagine if number one's like a Barcelona fan or something decides to pull out on the day. Marcelo has to go back and do it.
It's about time he got a bit of reality check sitting on the bench.
I would have thought Madrid has the power strings to pull that apart and make it the way, but they don't.
I think everyone's upset with Florentino Perez in Spain.
Probably true.
Rightio, then give us an answer.
Who do Manchester City play? And a chance to revise your tip today as well. You get the chance tomorrow too, probably, but early call.
Chelsea. I still think Chelsea have enough to go through. I think Real Madrid are running out of gas. They're running out of legs in terms of they've had one of the worst injury hit seasons of their history. Yeah. So look, Zidane, give credit to him. I still think they're just going to come up short. It'll be very close. And I think it'll be a Manchester City-Chelsea final.
If you want to stick your necks out for an early winner of the final too, feel free.
That's sticking your neck out too far.
I would never go against John Aloisi because John, before we went into this game today, called Manchester City and said no doubt about it. He really put himself out there to get assassinated and shot down, but I'll tell you what, he backed it. So I'm going to go against him. I'm not saying Chelsea. I'm going against you. I'm putting my neck on the line here. Real Madrid to beat Chelsea and Hazard will come off the bench and get the winner.
That's another one. Hazard started on the weekend and did well. The first glimpses of him coming good again. So
still looked a little bit oblong shaped.
Yeah, he looks a bit heavy, doesn't he?
says me, nice and lean since retirement.
There's a difference between playing a mid-table team in Spain compared to playing Chelsea in a semi-final. So, I question if he's the right man to at least start. You know, you would think they could come on and have an impact. But I'm with you, John. I think Chelsea, they're going to make it very hard for Real Madrid to create chances. And they're going to ask questions of that makeshift back line. I think Varane and, if Ramos plays, they'll challenge them.
Did you say makeshift or make shit? Didn't sound very convincing.
No. You make your mind up what I did say.
But their back line is
very clever.
Their back line is actually good. Real Madrid's back line's good. And look, you can't go past their midfield as well and Casemiro.
They've got a good team.
Yeah, they've got a good side. Look, it's a tough one to pick because I think it's much more balanced this tie, 1-1, because you just need that one goal to take you through.
Timo Werner with the match winner?
It would be nice for his confidence. Look, I know what everyone's saying, that he's double figures and he's double figures. So he's got 10-plus goals, 10-plus assists. But in terms of how many chances he's missed, how many goals could have he had? And when you come up in these sort of games where chances, you don't really create that many against the Real Madrid, you have to take them. Just put them away because or else it will come back to haunt you. Will that goal that he missed in Madrid come back to haunt them?
We will learn plenty more Thursday morning. Please join us. The guys will be on deck from 4:30 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Post-game show all the way through with another match day edition of the Gangapod. Anything you could possibly want out of the UEFA Champions League will be on the Optusport platform and socials and podcast platforms through the week. Gents, had a blast today. Thanks so much for your company as ever. Have a great arvo and we'll do it all again tomorrow.
Thanks. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Good Thanks. Stuff.
I'll see you at lunch, by the way.
Oh, yes. Going to go for nice Italians.
Italians or Italian?
So we're going to two restaurants this year. Okay. I can't wait for that. We're doing a restaurant crawl this afternoon.
What a way to end the show. Thank you, boys.
You guys need a break. You need to guys need to go to your lunch at what? Hang on. It's 8:30. You're thinking about lunch already? Very good. To everyone that made it that far into the dribble, thank you so much for your company today. And as ever, until the next Gangapod, enjoy your football.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.